SwainEvents.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. And joining us via the Irish Networks hotline, head football coach, Tennessee, Josh Heupel. Coach Heup, good morning.
Good morning. How we doing?
Great, man. Great, great. Thank you for joining us this morning. I know you having busy meetings and strategizing. You got practice coming up tomorrow. So just appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. You know, we're coaches are off and running here and taking a quick break from some staff meeting. Get a chance to go out and scrimmage again tomorrow with second scrimmage and ready to roll.
Coach, I've been wondering this for weeks now. I watched the bowl game, your bowl game, and got a chance to check out the offense. And, you know, I was keeping up with Marcus Tatum, former Tennessee player, and watched the game between Central Florida and BYU. And, you know, I was at the Missouri game in 2017. I left there real sad and really embarrassed because your offense dropped 50 points. But when you were at Missouri in 2017, I did not see the same offense that – you know, I saw during your time at Central Florida, and, you know, you've traveled, you know, you quarterback at Oklahoma, been offense coordinator multiple stops. At what point did you say, all right, this is the offense we're going to do? Because I did not see this offense currently at Missouri. When was that point that you made that decision, and what led to that decision to run this offense that you currently run?
This really is a lot of the same things that we were doing at Missouri. Now there's some differences as well, and, mm-hmm. and that really comes from just your personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, at Missouri, we were heavy 11 personnel, and that was based on the tight ends that we had and maybe the depth at wide receiver that we didn't have. And down at UCF, you know, we played in 11 personnel probably this past year half the time. Our first year we played in it majority of the time. You know, this past year we were in four wide out sets 50% of the time, I guess, about that. And that was based off of our personnel. And you know, I think you always look at your end result of what you're trying to do, and then you work backwards from that. It's based off of your personnel. That's going to dictate some of the schemes that you're able to run, but you know what your personnel does well. You got to adjust to them and put them in a position to have success. And so, what we're doing this spring is trying to find out, you know, who are our players that are going to play at a championship level, that are going to compete the way that you have to, that we can trust, that have earned an opportunity to play. We're going to continue to put in our base structure of what we do, and then. If you move into training camp and get ready to start game planning, then you make sure that you put them in the right position to be successful.
Coach, just trying to – or following up Swain's question about your offense, kind of the two unique things about your offense is the wide splits and the up-tempo pace. When did you kind of settle on wanting to go as fast as your offense goes and the wide splits, and why is it so important that you do implement those wide splits?
The splits is just putting pressure on a defense, making them defend every blade of grass that's on the football field. You're going to put guys in conflict. You're going to create one-on-one situations. And then, you know, you give your offensive players an opportunity to go win those one-on-one situations. You know, everything is personnel-based and trying to find the right matchup and put guys in a conflicted position on the defensive side of the football. Got into some of that just as we had a young quarterback at Oklahoma and was struggling seeing and reading some things from the young quarterback perspective. You know, started spacing things out a little bit more clear in the picture for him, and he had some success with it. And we also found just the issues that it presented for the defense. And you know, tempo is going to be a portion of what we do, and it's a big portion of what we do. Once you get things going, you want to apply pressure to the defense. Tempo is a tool to do that. I think it's got a chance to change the landscape of maybe some mismatches that you have, in particular up front. I think you can create an advantage for your offensive line. It's absolutely critical that while you're playing with tempo in 4 minute and a half situational football, that you're able to do that too. And so there's some unique things that we do playing from a huddle as well that give us an advantage to do a great job of finishing a half, finishing a ball game the right way. And I think you look at our track record, that's going to speak to that.
Josh Heupel, head football coach here on the Swain event. recruiting. So many people, so many fan bases, you know, they're tied into recruiting. They know about, you know, who you guys are targeting. They find out about the height, the weight, the speed. They know about a player's, you know, girlfriend, the favorite color. I mean, recruiting is so intense now. And you look at the different recruiting sites, things like that, and those guys do a really good job of covering these recruits. One thing that I wonder is – the start of the process for you, Coach, because you came in January, obviously behind the eight ball there, but no one's making excuses. You just got to go and get it done. But behind the eight ball, everyone knows that. In a normal situation, when do you identify a guy in high school, what age, what year, and you say, okay, this guy can maybe play for us as a senior? How early are you guys starting that process to build that relationship with that player?
Well, recruiting is about relationship. It's time and energy poured into to a young person. And, you know, we got every tool here to help kids go achieve greatness in every area of life, on and off the field. And I think that's one of the unique things here. The passion and energy that surrounds our program, a portion of that is recruiting with our fan base too. So that's why I wanted to be here, man. This is one of the great traditions of college football. We get to put a new age approach on it, and we get to go compete and win, ultimately win championships here in on the biggest and best stage. And I wanted to be a part of that. You know, as we get deeper into our recruiting cycles, right? We have a lot of coaches that have ties and connections inside of our natural footprint, our recruiting footprint. So they have connections to high schools. As we're able to be out on the road, you know, during the winter, during December and January months, during spring recruiting, you're going to see kids that are in the, you know, the current cycle that you're recruiting. You're also going to find kids that are on the next cycle, but you're going to see some young freshmen that are no-brainers as well. So that process can take place at any time, really starting their freshman year, but certainly through their sophomore in junior season.
Coach, you've had a good number of spring practices, and you've had guys, you know, be out because of quarantine. That's still going on. You got guys banged up a little bit, and you want to be careful. Coach, who on offense, who on defense for you has really stood out? You know, maybe it's one or two, maybe it's more, who knows. But you know, some guys on offense, guys on defense that stood out to you with their play being consistent out there.
For us, here's what I'm really thankful for. We've been really fortunate that we've stayed really pretty healthy, right? We haven't had many COVID issues here since we started spring ball. So we've had a good portion, if not all, of our guys out there on most days. And we've had an opportunity to go compete at a really high level. Our football team as a whole, they're learning the standards of how we're going to operate on the practice field, how we're going to communicate. They're learning how to compete, right? So our kids get graded every day on their effort, right, playing snap to whistle, because I think that's the number one thing that you got to do. You got to play harder than your opponent. Mm-hmm. And they're learning how to pay attention to the details and what we're doing. So they're growing in communication. You know, defensively, all three levels, offensively, five guys up front, quarterback handling the communication system, in particular when we're playing with tempo. They're getting so much better in the fundamentals and technique within those schemes. We've grown a bunch. You know, a day ago, I thought our defense took the biggest step forward that they had taken, and they had been taking steps forward, but I thought some things clicked, and they played their best football. It was a big jump from the previous day. And you know, we've had good back and forth between offense and defense. There's been plays made on both sides of the line of scrimmage, which I think is important. If it's ever tilted one direction, you're probably in trouble. But our guys are competing at a really high level. I think they enjoy being inside the building. They enjoy the meetings. They enjoy the camaraderie between the team itself. And there's great energy and competition out on the practice field. So I like the direction that we're heading. That's a fundamental, foundational piece of who and what we got to be. There's guys all over the field that have really come on and are doing a really good job. You know, Tillman at the wide receiver spots had, you know, back-to-back big-time days. I think he's grown a bunch in what we're doing offensively. I have some young backs, Jabari Small in particular, that's shown some special traits at the running back position, like what he's doing. Walker Merrill at the wide receiver position had a really good spring for a true freshman. Defensively, I think our secondary played really well, playing with great technique and effort and energy. Pat Garland at the linebacker spot had a really good spring. He's continuing to come on here. Excited to see, you know, the scrimmage from his perspective tomorrow. But we get one more opportunity tomorrow to go inside Neyland Stadium, play with great effort and energy, and get one day better.
Coach, you talk about taking a jump from one practice to the next, and tomorrow will be scrimmage number two of spring practice. What improvements, what jumps are you hoping to see from your football team from scrimmage number one of spring to scrimmage number two?
Yeah, you know, we try to make practice like a game, right? But you still have certain periods where it doesn't flow quite like that. So tomorrow, coaches are on the sidelines. Everybody's got to operate and function out there in space. Both sides of the line of scrimmage got to reset from one play to the next. The ability to, hear the whistle, get your eyes back, get the signal, line up on offense formationally, defensively, see the formation, adjust, communicate all three levels, be on the same page, make sure that we have gap integrity, play with great effort and energy and go and chase the football and tackle well in space. So those are some of the things that we want to see, on both the offensive and defensive side tomorrow.
Coach, how do you manage and balance when you make a personnel decision with any guy, any position? It could be quarterback, it could be receiver, defense. Well, you have two guys or three. One makes big plays, but maybe gives up plays too, turnovers, you know, mental errors. But physically, he can make better plays than the other two or the one. How do you make decisions? How do you balance that decision on maybe on personnel moves? Maybe which guy to go with? The guy that's more of a home run hitter, but it's going to give us more, make more mistakes, or the guy that's a little bit more consistent, but may not be the home run hitter.
In year one, but this is true every year too. You don't come out of spring ball with a finalized depth chart. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, and our staff feels the same way. There's so much growth that happens in May, June, and July with the players physically. Their ability to change their bodies and get themselves prepared and be a different player by the time they come back to training camp. Their ability to understand what you're doing schematically on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They have an opportunity to grow so much as they get another install during the course of the summer. They get an opportunity in strength and conditioning to change their bodies. They come back a completely different player if they pour 100% in every day. And so, you know, for us right now during spring ball, kids get graded, right? They move up and down as far as which group they're working with and competing with during the course of that day. It's a very fluid situation. You look at the tape, you grade them, and they move up and down based on that. Every day we talk about the ability to reset, and that's part of having a winning mentality is that you can just go play the next play independent of what has happened the previous play. And that's maybe good or bad with the previous play. And, our players are learning how to have that mentality, learn how to compete extremely hard every single snap and growing in that way.
Joined by Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel here on the Swain event. Coach, next Saturday is the spring game. Have you all decided what the format for the spring game will look like? And if so, what will the format look like?
No, we haven't completely finalized the format of what that's going to look like. That's predicated off of how deep you are at the current situation. Who are some guys that maybe you're holding out? And how do you want to make sure that you're putting all your kids in a position to have a great day and go out and compete in the right way?
Last question, Coach. Christmas is always December 25th, but I got a second Christmas present. To start 2021, I got a poster of Neyland Stadium signed by you, thanking guys like me for helping build the place. And we really, really appreciate you sending that to the players that play here, Coach. When is the next present coming this way? I like presents, next, Coach.
Next present happens when you guys come back on campus. No, we it's important to myself, to our staff, that we welcome back the VFL and former players here that have poured a lot of time, energy, blood, sweat, tears, in some ways, back into this program. It's important that this is the place that they built. I really meant that when I put that on the poster. They built this program. I'm fortunate that I get to be the caretaker of Tennessee football. It's a great honor. It's one that we're excited about. My family is excited about being here in Knoxville. This is a special place. That's why I chose to come here. And a big piece of that is the guys that have come before me. And so we want them back here as much as they possibly can. I want them on the practice field. Want them here, pouring back into our players. I think it's important that our players see that this is a process and a journey that doesn't end, that Tennessee football is going to be a part of their life forever. Those are connections. We want that brotherhood of guys that played in your era or whatever era it is that you played here, being back here. It should be a place of great pride. It should be a place that your family gets to see what you did. And it's just important to me that we build that culture the right way. That's going to help with our current football team. It's going to help in recruiting as we create positive momentum that changes the game forever for Tennessee football.
Man, I got so many questions for you, Coach, but I know you are ripping and running, burning it on both sides. You know, I don't even know if you packed completely or moved out of your boxes yet, hitting Knoxville and getting to know these players, implementing the culture, building a foundation. You got spring games. So I'm just very appreciative of your time that you gave us this morning. Thank you so much. And I just look forward to spending more time with you, being around you, being around the team, rooting for you. And if anything we can do to help, please let me know. Thank you so much for joining the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys being on. Look forward to seeing you around the spring game. Have a great day, guys.
Sound good. You too. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. That was Josh Heupel, head football coach at Tennessee. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll come back, talk about Heupel's comments. You're getting used to being a football coach and answering questions. I can tell, Vance. You're getting more comfortable. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. I look forward to seeing, what this offense is going to do under his leadership. It's been kind of fun to kind of see it transform and the excitement from the players on the offense side of the football. I don't know how excited the defensive players are right now, having to play as fast as they are and line up and adjust and make these checks and make sure that they account for the splits of the offensive linemen and make adjustments. I don't know how excited they are, but offensive players certainly seem excited. Spring game next weekend. Josh Heupel's comments we'll talk about when we come back from break. Swain Event. So many things we could talk with Coach Heupel about. Him hitting the town of Knoxville, getting a chance to experience Knoxville's best. Didn't even get a chance to get that in, man. Just so intrigued by the X's and O's.
I doubt he's done much exploring in Knoxville.
No, I mean, the first couple of months is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him, no doubt about it. But that's one thing that attracts coaches or keeps coaches other than a paycheck. But Knoxville is a really good place to live. It's one of the best SEC cities, and Knoxville has a lot to offer. I remember when Rick Barnes was contemplating leaving and how everybody was offering him free food and services, which I don't understand because they can pay for it. Like he don't need any free handouts. But anyways, but this city is just it's special when it comes to just being a college town. So it's just so much stuff to ask Coach Heupel about, and the mornings are really when the coaches are super super busy. They're doing their staff meetings, positional meetings. It's tough, so I just appreciate him. Very, very thankful. Thanks to Bill Clark for helping us out Bill Clark, Bill Martin, for helping us out and getting that set up, for us. I know it's been hectic, especially with the new coach coming in. So thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Bill's awesome.
He really is. All right, let's get to the phones. Iris Networks Hotline, 90 days, no payment for business internet, fiber, and voice. IrisNetworksUSA.com. Tramiel, good morning.
Yo, what's up, man?
What up?
How y'all doing, man? I like the phone call, man. Pretty good. He seems like he's comfortable, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, chill. Real quick, because I know y'all want to get to the comments about it. Do we not think the defense will get better? I mean, just a little bit from going against this offense. I mean, when he was at Missouri, I like to say Missouri.
Boy, you country.
I feel like the talent
we
have.
Says it.
Country, man. Country. Missouri. You drink buttermilk straight, don't you?
No.
Country.
But when he was at Missouri, you know what I'm saying, the defense, I think they win the East when
no,
he was there?
Not when he was there.
They didn't?
No. That was under who was their coach there for a long time? Gary Pinkle.
Gary Pinkle. They first hit the
league. Was under Pinkle at the beginning. Yeah, that was the beginning when
13 and 14.
Yeah. But so when he was there, did they have a decent record? I mean, against the top team, they lost, right?
Yeah, they're right.
Right.
Offense was really good, but as a team,
the defense was their issue.
Yeah, it was all right.
Defense was the issue. Because I mean, they had like what a defensive lineman that was good. They always had a good defensive lineman. They may have had a good linebacker. But I feel like our talent. The point I'm trying to make is, I feel like our talent on defense is better than anywhere he's been. As far as, I mean, wouldn't y'all agree with that? I mean, as far as talent goes, we don't. It's unproven talent, but it's talent. You know, I just feel like, you know, the defense being a little bit more talented. When they go up against other offenses, I think this could help them. You know what I'm saying? Because it'll slow down, right? I mean, nobody's going as fast as us.
I'll push back on your comment about the talent a little bit, Tramiel. I think the secondary has some talent. I think the edge position, outside linebacker, defensive end, however you want to describe it, it's more the outside backers, Byron Young, Tyler Barron, mm-hmm. Roman Harrison. Like, those guys, they have talent. But, like, the true defensive lineman, I question the amount of talent that Tennessee has up front.
Okay.
And that to me is a huge concern, because you can't get pushed around as a defensive front.
That's what I was wondering about the defensive line.
There's a bunch of veterans there, but just because they're veterans doesn't mean that
they don't mean anything. We've seen that turn many a times. Well, I guess that, you know, but I just was hoping, I mean, we're hoping that this could, you know what I'm saying, help. But if the defensive line getting pushed around, yeah, it's going to be a long season. So the offense got to put up like 50.
Yes. Now, just because I don't think that there's a ton of talent up front doesn't mean that by the time the fall rolls around, the unit will be bad per se. I trust Rodney Garner to squeeze every drop of the lemon out of the lemon to make lemonade. I trust Rodney Garner to do that, but he has his work cut out for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tramiel, you were asking, you know, the offense should just make the defense better, right? Because of the offense that they're going to be running, and iron sharpens iron, right? You know, as you guys were talking, I was thinking about, all right, what's a team that, you know, runs an offense tempo-wise or schematically that is very unique in a conference and really no one else runs? I start thinking about, a little bit about Georgia Tech, even though we're going to run 11 personnel like Heupel talked about. We're going to run three wides. We're going to do it pretty much from personnel standpoint that everybody else does. But as far as like the style and the tempo and things like that, it is a little bit different. You know, Georgia Tech ran this triple option, and you had to prepare for this one team, their style, this one game a season. But you were not going to play anyone like them any other week. And I look at Tennessee, And there's other teams that go that will go fast. But if Heupel hits, you know, his I guess the point of his offense or you know, his goals where his team can – his offense can handle going hyper speed, then they will be different than anybody else. They will be faster than everybody else. Everyone's going to go tempo, but no one's going to go as fast as Heupel if they do exactly what I saw Heupel do in that bowl game when he was at Central Florida. So, yeah, I mean, the defense will be prepared there, but I'm with Ben. I mean, defensive line, and it's really important for this offensive line to play well. It's important for Glenn Ellaby to get everything he can out of this offensive line because they're going to be the ones that's going to help this defensive line get better. The defensive line, they can get stronger in the weight room. Mentality-wise, they can get a clear understanding, have more of a buy-in to what Rodney Garner wants. You know, those are all psychological things that can happen and can improve. But the physical things outside of getting stronger is going up against – an offensive lineman each and every day banging as much as you can without hurting each other, because that's something that you have to manage and balance if you are Josh Heupel. How much is too much, but how much is not enough? This offensive lineman is going to be very, very important because they're going to be the most responsible for getting these defensive linemen prepared to play in the SEC week in and week out.
I do think to answer Tremel's overall question, because I pushed back on a little comment that he made about the defense having talent at all three levels. I don't think that's the case.
They do. It's not enough.
Yes.
It's just not enough.
That's
yes.
The positive way to say it.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. But to Tremel's overall question, the offense going at the pace that it is in practice, will that help the defense? Yes. Yes, it will. Because if Lane Kiffin in the Ole Miss game, Eli Drinkwitz in the Missouri game, if Kentucky's new offensive coordinator, if all of a sudden they want to go tempo, the defense has seen it. They would be able to adjust if they need to. So I do think overall it does help that the defense is going up against this kind of different style of offense. That way, if another team throws it at them, they've seen it plenty.
Let me add this then. It's going to help. I'm not saying – it's not a question of whether it is or is it not. It's going to. Mm-hmm. But let me add something else. The tempo can be a neutralizer sometimes when the talent is not even. So you may have a talented defensive lineman that on a normal day would beat the offensive lineman one-on-one for four quarters. But adding in the tempo – it gives the less talented offensive lineman more of a chance if the more talented defensive lineman is huffing and puffing. Well, our offensive line has to do a really good job of beating the defensive line and winning matchups and sharpening the iron, just not because of the tempo. Because you're going to play teams that's not going to rely on tempo to beat you up front. You're going to play against offenses that are going to go slower than us. What are you going to do then? Are you going to win from a technique standpoint, even though you're going to have more of your oxygen in your lungs? You're going to be able to breathe a little bit better because you're not going to be as tired. This offense is going to help our guys as far as getting lined up with conditioning and things like that. But from a technique standpoint, are we able to win battles, whether it's one-on-one in drills or doing half-line stuff, where it's not about tempo. It's about mano a mano. It's about technique. It's about
winning your individual matchup.
Bingo.
And that's ultimately, even though football is such a team sport, team success comes from individuals winning their individual matchup.
So, yes, the tempo will help the defense. But it's important for guys like Javonte Spraggins in one-on-one situations to just be giving dudes the business to help them improve.
Which he does.
Yeah, so
I love Spraggetts, man.
Yeah, I do too. Man.
He's a dog.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I do too.
He's a mini Trey Smith.
Yeah, I like Spraggetts, man. I really do. I'm so glad he's here. What a find by this previous staff. Probably their best find.
Yes.
You talk about Roman Harrison. You can look at Spraggins. You know, Jimmy Holiday may turn into to one of those guys. You know, just a great find.
Slaughter.
But yeah, man. Like,
shoot.
Spraggins had to come to camp to get an offer.
Yeah.
Roman Harrison had to come to camp to get an offer.
Yeah.
I mean, those two guys I probably would put above everybody else because them dudes got an offer from Game Film being at their high school in their hometown. Like, Roman Harrison and Spraggins had to come get theirs.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another one, Jalen Wright. That's a good find by that staff as well. Not a guy that had to come to camp to get an offer, but a guy that...
Nah, it's a good find.
If they didn't have other SEC offers and they become legitimate SEC players, to me, that's a good find.
Yeah, no, no, for sure. I mean, this staff previously, you know, they've had their faults. No doubt about it. That's why they're not here. But not everything they've done has been wrong, and they've left some talent there. But because of the situation, they've also caused Tennessee to lose a lot of talent. Indirectly with their actions or directly with some of their guys calling players, getting them to leave.
Right.
But I won't go there.
Yeah, we won't. Let's be positive for a little while. But the cool thing about Spraggins also is Tennessee reached out to Miles McVay, a top 100 offensive lineman who is from the same high school as Javonte Spraggins there at East St. Louis. So maybe not only does Javonte do wonders for Tennessee on the field, but a little connection off the field help get another big-time offensive lineman coming in.
Batter up! Sorry, man. I just had a Nelly flashback.
You're in a baseball mood today.
You know, like basketball, you like playing.
We're playing basketball.
Curtis Blow.
All around the world.
That's the basketball anthem. I'm trying to think of a baseball one to get me going for the baseball series. But for me, it's Batter Up Nelly, man.
That's a good one. For me, when I think of like a baseball song, I think of Center Field. You probably never have heard that song, but I don't know who sings it. But
what genre are we talking about?
I don't even know the type of genre. It's by John Fogerty. Just like a band singing a song about baseball.
So when I go
it's
to
considered
my...
rock.
Okay, that's probably why. Yeah, I'm.
And it talks about baseball.
So I need a good baseball song. I know y'all listen different music out there. What's a good baseball song out here?
Batter Up's a good one, as you pointed out. Center Field is my favorite baseball song. Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Duh.
Great baseball song.
But it ain't crunk though.
There's not many crunk baseball songs.
We are talking about baseball.
Like Batter Up from.
We are talking about baseball, right?
Yeah. Shut up.
Thank you, man. You put it on tee for me. Like T-ball.
Pun intended.
Yeah, I know, right? Swain Event, be right back.
For a replay of East Day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Good morning, Swain Event family. As you already know, I'm your go-to realtor when you are considering buying, selling, or investing in East Tennessee real estate. But did you know I can help all of you listeners in other parts of the country? No matter where you're listening from, there's a good chance I have several Keller Williams real estate partners in your area. I've developed relationships with realtors I know I can trust to help you with your needs. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-257-7897, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
More and more Tennessee businesses are switching to Iris Networks for reliable, local, high-quality, high-speed business fiber internet. Iris provides direct internet access from 10 megs to 10 gigs with no payments for 90 days. Iris also offers next-generation business phones with work-from-anywhere capability from the mobile or laptop app. With local sales, support, and service, Iris is a partner in the community. Learn more at irisnetworkusa.com or call 865-448-IRIS. Iris Networks, a Tennessee business connecting Tennessee businesses.
Home service problems occur, even at the most inconvenient times, like during a health crisis. And Hiller is always here to help you 24/7. As people are social distancing and staying at home on workdays, it's an easier time to take care of home maintenance items that you feel are necessary. And we've put new safety precautions in place, like wearing gloves, avoiding physical contact, new sanitation protocols, and limiting time in your home. We're here for you.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Oh, I'm ready, man. I'm ready now. I'm ready for some Tennessee baseball now. Ben's bumping that Nelly. Batter up. During the break on the phone, you know, we can't play it. We can't play it on the show because, you know, there are restrictions and things like that in place. We are rule followers here on the Swain event. We don't break the rules, at least intentionally. We don't do that here. We are rule-abiding citizens here. Let's go to the phones.
We've got Dave Tona and then C-Mac.
We can't say the same for C-Mac, that's for sure. Daytona, good morning.
What's going on, big guy?
What's up?
Another day. I was telling Ben, and this isn't a per se baseball song, but back when the Pirates were still relevant, when I was still living up there, the Pointer Sisters sang a song that was We Are Family, and that was the song that the Pirates always played at the stadium and during the World Series and kind of adopted, but it's not a baseball song. I don't think it even mentions baseball.
No, it's not.
No. No.
Talks about being family.
Yeah, no. Is that when Barry Bonds had a normal-sized head?
Yeah, that's when Barry Bonds was definitely a lot smaller than he was before he started drinking some kind of juice.
Gotcha.
Yeah, protein shakes.
Yeah.
Before he had a head like a pit bull.
He must have drunk a lot of them protein shakes, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, guys, I hope tomorrow the practice goes well. I hope we find out a little bit more about our quarterbacks. I'm excited to see about that kid from Winter Park committing yesterday. That's in the same area where my grandson goes to school. It's actually, he lives in Winter Park, but he doesn't go to Winter Park. He goes to another school there, so... Hopefully some of those recruiters stay in that area and possibly my grandson may have a chance.
We look forward to it, man. Tennessee coaches having a tie down there in the Orlando area and they were down there for 3 years, so it's always tough to recruit in Florida, and Tennessee traditionally hasn't, you know, brought in game breakers from that state, but we've had our contributors, we've had our players that have been instrumental in good seasons, but how much time will be spent down in Florida is the question. I doubt it's going to be a ton, but when you have a relationship, you should definitely play towards it and try to take advantage of it. All right, Daytona, appreciate that phone call, man. Hope you have a good weekend. Yeah, we are family. I don't think baseball when I hear that song, but it is a great song, and it's a song you listen to any time of the day. It's a classic. All right, who's next? C-Mac, my man, good morning.
Good morning, Swain.
What's up, man?
Good morning, McKee. Hey, man.
I apologize. I need to apologize to you. We didn't get a chance to ask Hypo about hyperspeed. I didn't get a chance to ask. I promise you I was going to do it. I have to ask him off the air.
Swain, it's all good. It was the first interview of many, you know. So, you know, the initial one, no worries. You know, we still got time. You know, we haven't even made it to, you know, summer, you know, camp yet. So, you know, we got time. And it's hypo speed.
Let me get it right. Hypo speed. Yes.
And hopefully, you know, he can coach up a good hypo drive to win a game versus, you know, one of these big uglies in the SEC. But, you know, hell of an interview this morning, guys. Incredibly great interview. The couple of times I've heard Coach speak, he sounds very comfortable, very relaxed, and, you know, in his skin. So, you know, that's very pleasant. And, you know, McKee asked some really good questions, too. So, damn good interview. I do want to address a couple of things from earlier in the show, though.
Okay.
First and foremost. Can we talk about the pistol again? Can we talk about the pistol? And I ain't talking about the offensive set.
Are you talking about Pete?
You know something about a little pistol. I know that.
I let the awkward silence say that, whatever I need to say for me on that response, Ben. Pistol Pete Maravich spent a little time in the great city of Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but he went to a little school called Broughton in Raleigh, where, you know, that was the, you look back at his career and his development, that was really where a lot of things kind of turned the corner. When you guys said that Pistol Pete wouldn't, you know, do what he did in today's game, that's very hard to believe because, you know, Maravich was so incredibly gifted and talented and, more importantly, creative. Definitely as, you know, in today's game, a lot of kids ain't playing like defense.
When did Ben change his name to you guys?
Well, and also I said that 45. He would have averaged 45 points per game.
Yeah, I'm not
saying that he would not be great. I do think he would be great. But there's not a single human on this planet. LeBron James at 18. Michael Jordan didn't do it at 18. Kobe, if he was a freshman in college, if he had played college ball, nobody
is averaging 40-something
points a game in today's day and age of college basketball. Not happening. Nobody.
Yeah. 40 points?
So here's my thing with that, though.
Tennessee couldn't even score 40 points in some games.
Hey, man. Like, you had that in there.
All right. For one, neither LeBron nor Kobe played in college. So we're not even going to touch that. But we will touch on the fact that, you know, in college, the worst that Maravich ever shot was 43% for an entire, 42% for an entire season across the field. You know, he's almost making 50% of every shot he put up, and he was still going at an average no less than 43 points per game. So you're right. He wouldn't average 45. He probably averaged close to 55, 60.
Yeah, okay.
I
want to see a pit bull like Keon Johnson on Pete Maravich. Let's see what old Pistol Pete has
he'll
to
get
do.
Smoked,
then
man.
I want to see Pistol Pete go up against the Baylor Bears and all them pit bulls and see what happens. Again, this my
43
opinion,
points per game.
43 points per game. I don't think y'all realize how ridiculous that is.
Not only that, but you know, also when you throw in he's averaging at least 5 rebounds a game, almost 4 assists a game, you know, you got a 7-foot dude on today's team who can't get 2 rebounds a game.
Yeah,
so
7-foot dudes didn't exist back in that day.
Hey man, why you gotta throw shade at Uros? Leave Uros out of this.
Because I need some rebounds, Swain. That's why.
We just recruited some rebounds. All right, leave Uros out of this.
True.
His responsibility is not to get all the rebounds. Okay. We've recruited dudes to do that.
More than two. Swain, Hypo asked, you asked Hypo about, you know, his kind of his X's and O's, his splits and the difference between his time in Missouri and then down, you know, down to UCF. And it made me think of something. What would like personnel like you and me do with those big wide splits? What kind of effect would do you think that would have had on the way you guys were running back in the day?
Condition will be a whole lot different. Condition will be a whole lot different, man. We were told we had to run like gazelles and be in better condition when we had our new offense coordinator because we were going to rotate a lot of guys. And so, you know, treating the floor like it's lava after a catch and getting tackled, getting up and getting the ball to the ref and then hurry up and line it up, that would be different. That would be something that we have to adjust to for sure. But we would do it because we want to catch more passes and play and show off what we can do. So we would do it.
No doubt. Last thing, in football, when you have like big time, you know, matchups, number two, number three, number one, number three, what have you, a lot of times in football, you know, they kind of give that game a moniker, like, you know, game of the century or whatever. Is this going to be the closest that Tennessee baseball gets to something of that magnitude with this upcoming series with Vanderbilt?
Great question.
Yeah, since, I mean, the other really game that we play where the series is called something different than Tennessee versus X is the third Saturday in October. You know, I mean, that's they don't call the Tennessee-Florida basketball game anything, and they don't call the football game anything. Maybe you guys need to come up with something. You know, you like coming up with phrases and ideas. Maybe you should do it.
We might have to put something together. I sincerely hope they show out and show up, you know, over the weekend. And I think it's going to be a hell of a baseball game. So I'm really excited about it, man.
I think we might need to wait, though. Need to make sure Tennessee wins. And then you got to make sure that Tony Vitello is coming back.
Yeah, I hope this isn't the last Tennessee-Vanderbilt series for Tony V.
Hey, you sure. Get him a few of those McDonald's bags, he can stick around.
Hey, man. We ain't talking about that.
I'm just saying. You know, drop him off a couple of, you know, McDee's bags. Keep him, you know, keep you know, talk to your boy, Mr. White. You know? Tell him, give him that McDonald's bag. Hey, man, once again, incredible interview. Incredible show, as always. One hell of a week. Let's have a great weekend, man. Y'all be easy and stay up, all right?
I'm loving that idea. See what I did there? Get off the phone, man. Get off the phone. Get off the phone, man. Get off the phone. Thank you for the love, my man. Hope you have a good weekend. Thanks for the phone call. Vaughn Birmingham says he's pumped for tonight's game. Who else we got?
Turkey Man.
Turkey Man called back. Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry, guys. I've been busy and all get out, and got a call I had to take. But by the way, before I forget it, before I hang up, Ben or one of you can you talk to me off the air about something? I got something I need to ask, if that's possible.
Yep.
But anyhow, I was going to ask you guys, Smoky Stadium. I hear that Smoky's is moving back to Knoxville. I know Ben was affiliated with Smokies and worked up there. I know it's a great atmosphere up there. I've done it a Friday night a couple of times up there. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. First of all, why haven't the baseball balls been able to go up there and do a tournament or do something that would show what's the area around about it, recruit more of what's available, you know, when they come here, things that we offer here in East Tennessee. And why is that not being utilized like that, Ben?
Tony played one game at Smoky Stadium each of his first two seasons. So they've utilized it a little bit. One got rained out, so that was unfortunate, and then they played another one the next year.
But what's going to happen to Smokies and that stadium if they move to Knoxville? What's going to happen there?
I don't know.
You know?
You have to ask the great people of Kodak what's going to happen out there.
I just wondered because it's cool, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a very nice stadium. I imagine they'll tear it down, or I mean, there's no need to have a baseball stadium out there if you got one downtown. I would imagine they tear it down.
Wow. I was wondering about that. I hope you guys have a good weekend, and if you could kind of talk to me off air just a second, I'd appreciate it.
All right.
Can you give me 5 minutes till the end of the show, Turkey Man?
All right. Oh, I am.
What do you think they should do with that stadium out there, Swain?
Whatever you just said, man. Whatever you said. I agree with you. I don't know, man. If they ain't using it, well, I have it. All right, so we got some baseball song advice. Cheap Seats by Alabama. I don't know about that, guys. I'm not.
No.
I ain't rolling with no band named Alabama. Nope. I don't want nothing to do with Alabama right now.
Nope.
Good song or not. I mean, I got a ad on Twitter from the University of Alabama. What is going on yesterday on Twitter? I don't want anything to do with Alabama. I'm tired of Alabama. I can't even watch the NFL draft without talking about Alabama. I'm trying to enjoy basketball this season. Alabama. Creedence Clearwater Revival. Okay. All right. You know my favorite when we do this? There's always someone that's like, oh my gosh. Swain didn't, Ben didn't know about Clearwater Revival? Really? Really? I ask you, do you know about The Last Dumb by Master P? You know about that? You know about that CD?
The what?
Huh? You know about Mia X?
Nope.
Huh? You know about Silk the Shocker? Huh? Huh? You know about that? Exactly. Why? Because we're different. It's okay. I wasn't raised listening to no rock and bands and all. I wasn't raised listening to that stuff, man. I was raised on R&B hip hop. That's it. Gospel. I get up in that hymn book. I was raised on that. But I ain't heard none of this stuff, man. I'm just not hearing this stuff as a grown up. But my favorite's like, oh my God, you never heard? No, man.
And those same people think
it's hilarious.
That it's silly that we listen to who we listen to.
I think it's funny. Like,
do you know who Lil Baby is? Do you know who Future is?
I think it's great, man.
Do you know who Soulja Boy is? What about Drake?
I'm disappointed. I know who Soulja Boy is, but
he had a couple of good songs. He had good middle school dance songs.
Yeah, one.
You.
Yeah, one. But no, I just think it's cool, man. That, you know, different folks from different eras listen to different things. But to assume that everybody listen to the same stuff everybody listens to is just crazy. Anyways, I'll be checking out some Creedence Clearwater Revival after the show.
No, you won't. Don't lie to the people. You're not going to do that.
I got the link right here. I'm going to click on it.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I know.
I'm going to click on and listen to it for
like
a little bit.
10 seconds.
It'd be more than 10 seconds. I'm going to listen to it and see what kind of vibe it got, man. I want to know if it got a little beat. Got some up-tempo music to get you pumped up for baseball. That was my question. Curtis Blow song means give you a little bit of energy. It's up tempo. If this one is slow tempo, talking about baseball, that's not what I was looking for. I'm looking for up tempo. I got the link right here, Ben. Right here. YouTube link. I'm about to click on it. Don't be lying to the people. You know how you reporters like to do. Pushing out false narratives, Ben. It's not responsible. I got the link right here. Having lived in Louisiana and having personally seen Pete Maravich play on several occasions, the idea that he wouldn't average 44 points per game is laughable. He was a freak of nature. Oh, man, people. What freak of nature has – there's been a lot of freak of natures. Who's averaging 43 points a game today?
Nobody. Nobody is averaging 43 points in a college basketball season in today's game.
Today's game?
He's not easily averaging 50 plus. Y'all have lost y'all's mind. It doesn't matter that I'm young and that I did not. Y'all want to say that I'm young? Y'all got old person bias. That's what I got to say about that. Y'all got old person bias.
And I said Pete Maravich is arguably the best SEC basketball player ever.
And I agree.
But to say he averaged 43 points per game today?
Nobody's doing that. That was my point in bringing up LeBron and Kobe. It's like even if they played at 18 a season of college basketball, they are not averaging 43 points per game. There have been freak athletes to come through college basketball the last decade, two decades, three decades, and none of them averaged that many points. Nobody is averaging 43 points per game ever from now until the end of time.
Whether he can do it or not, it's not happening because you're not going to be allowed to do it.
Yes.
Like if you allowed, let's say Kobe played in college for one year, and the coach let him shoot every single time, okay, maybe, but you're not allowed to shoot that many times or have an opportunity to average 43 points a game. That's what people are forgetting, too.
Like, Pete Maravich is a great basketball player. Not
a legend.
Not trying to communicate that at all. I'm simply saying.
Freaking legend.
Nobody's averaging 43 points in today's game. Nobody.
Yeah, I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see it, man. I don't see it either. I don't see it in today's game. Not today's game.
Just like nobody's ever going to score 100 points in a legitimate basketball game ever again.
Has it happened since Wilt Chamberlain? Kobe was the closest. He was the closest, but
they took every ounce possible to get to 81.
Yeah, man. I don't see that happening again either. I don't see it happening. For Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Swain Events fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Hour 3 powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Men, take care of you. You only get one of you. Take care of it. Self-inject at-home testosterone treatments are $135 a month for self-pay or covered by most health insurance. So if you are feeling tired, grumpy, you have a lack of motivation or drive, notice weight gain, loss of muscle mass, this all could be signs of low testosterone levels, low thyroid, or even sleep apnea. There are 5 locations, Low T Center right here in Tennessee. LowTCenter.com to find the nearest location to you. Their telephone number locally is 865-392-1388. Hope you have a great weekend, a safe weekend. Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and love. We are out.